D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, you'll see an extraordinary story of personal transformation.
Well, at 16, I committed a murder, and I was convicted for a second-degree murder and many robberies.
And you'll discover why Jesus Christ is worth staking your own life upon as well.
Who is Jesus Christ? Next to the question of whether or not there is a God, this is no doubt the most important question that can be urged upon the human mind.
We will look at reasons to believe in Jesus Christ on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. The Bible tells us that we should always be ready to give an answer for the reason we believe as Christians. Our founder, Dr. D. James Kennedy, strongly believed that in an anti-rational age, where feelings and experience seem to drive everything, Christians should be able to present the proofs that Christianity is true. You will hear from Dr. Kennedy on that later in the program, and we will share a compelling resource package that will help you do that. And as we begin, one of the greatest proofs for the truth of the Christian faith is the way that Jesus changes lives. He transformed the apostles from fearful cowards into bold witnesses 2,000 years ago. And he continues to change people today. Sometimes the change is quite dramatic, as you're about to see. Our own John Rabe has more.
I came here when I was 2 years old to Los Angeles, to an area called the Rampart District. And we moved back and forth from the Rampart District to South Central Los Angeles. Inside the home, there was a lot of violence with my father beating my mom, that kind of deal. Heavy drinker, and just never worked. And unfortunately, that was just what I had to see throughout my early life.
So there was trouble in your home to begin with, and you are living in some areas where a young man from a troubled home is apt to find family outside the home. Tell me what happened.
At the age of 8, I witnessed my first, it was a triple homicide, where a man stepped out of his car and walked over to three individuals on the alley and gunned them down. And simply walked back to his car. He didn't run to his car, he just walked to his car and didn't step on the gas, he didn't hear any screeching tires. He just drove off. Looking at violence in my home and then seeing it on the street, it became part of me at the age of 8. And so, there was a gang leader that took me under his wing.
So tell me what happened after you began running with people who were in gangs.
At first it was fun and games, the drinking, the partying, the cars, stealing cars. But for me, it took a little bit of a different spin. At 11, when I first got into this gang, I committed my first stabbing. So it was difficult, but you do it, and you have to do it, and you got to show that you're worthy of belonging to this gang. And it sounds horrible, but I fell in love with the violence.
So as a teenager, you're participating in escalating violence. You were particularly known for stabbing. What happens then as your teenage years roll on?
Well, at 16, I committed a murder, and I was convicted for a second-degree murder and many robberies. And that would sentence me to 12 years, 8 months. While I was there, I strangled somebody and almost killed another, my second person there. So because of that, I had to go directly into solitary confinement. In solitary, you don't know if it's day or night. There are absolutely no windows. You don't see the sun, you don't see anything. There's a dim light inside your cell. It's an 8x10. So just to give you an idea, the size of a parking space is your living quarters. And you only have a t-shirt, boxers, a blanket, and a roll of toilet paper in which they tell you, count the squares, make it last. You know, and you have absolutely no literature in there. This is when solitary was actually solitary.
So as we sit here today, Casey Diaz is not a dangerous man, is not a violent man, is not a member of a gang, is not the kind of person, you know, we're sitting here talking, you're an affable guy, not the kind of person that one would step around or go to the other side of the street to avoid. Explain to me the difference between the Casey Diaz of then and the Casey Diaz of now.
Well, I had quite an experience while I was sitting in solitary confinement where Christ came and made himself very well known to me, what Christ did in that cell and that moment that changed my life forever. It is solely the Holy Spirit of God convicting you of sin, and then that individual repenting and then coming to Christ and just giving your life over to him completely without absolutely nothing, leaving nothing behind. And I chose Christ, and for the next 2 years, I had to endure some persecution in there. My life was required of me because stepping down from an organization like this required for you to be taken out. And so the guy that was called to do the hit was one of my very own in the gang that I belonged to, who I knew from the streets and everything. So he came and he was to do the hit. He became the first guy that I led to Christ. Soon after that, one of the founding members of MS-13 gave his life to Christ, and another a guy that was in organized crime as well, he became a Christian as well. And so there was like four or five of us, very short span of time. And by the time those 2 years were after that, over 200 inmates would become born again.
So essentially your life was, obviously Jesus turned your life completely around, but then your life was saved from a hit from the gang by essentially a revival. The Spirit of God came and saved everybody who was gonna kill you.
God can reach the most hardened criminals. And I still believe that God can do a marvelous thing and turning many back to him.
Are you looking for solid evidence for the Christian faith?
But how do we know that the Bible is indeed God's Word? Those who would be effective witnesses for Christ need to realize that the resurrection is the unassailable fortress of Christianity.
Dr. D. James Kennedy explains 12 reasons why I believe in this new book compiled by Dr. Jerry Newcomb to bolster your faith and help you answer tough questions. Dr. Kennedy boldly and clearly illustrates how you can know for sure that there is a God, the world was created, Jesus was born of a virgin, and the foundations of your faith are true. Contact us today to receive your copy of 12 Reasons Why I Believe, so that you can be equipped to answer the challenges of skeptics and share the evidence for your Christian faith.
The Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus not only transformed Casey Diaz's life, he transformed my life, and perhaps yours as well. But experience only matters if it's based on the truth. We are called to build our lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. But why Jesus rather than some other religious leader? Dr. D. James Kennedy, whose own life was radically transformed by Christ, tells us in this portion of his message how I know Jesus is God.
Who is Jesus Christ? Next to the question of whether or not there is a God, this is no doubt the most important question that can be urged upon the human mind. Who say ye that I am? Who is this one upon whom our hopes of heaven depend? Who is Jesus? What is meant by the term Son of God? Now, he frequently called himself the Son of Man. That is a messianic title which is taken from the Old Testament book of Daniel, when he said, "Ye shall henceforth see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of power and glory." The Son of Man coming to judge the world was an Old Testament picture of the Messiah. I one time was talking to a gentleman, and he thought that Jesus was just a man like anyone else. And I said to him, "Well, I think I have some rather startling and astonishing news for you. According to the Bible and the historic Christian faith, Jesus of Nazareth was and is the infinite, eternal creator of the universe, the Almighty God." Instantly, his eyes filled with tears. And he said to me, "I have never heard that before. And yet, I've always thought that's the way it ought to be." And my friends, that is precisely the way that it is. Jesus Christ is God, not a mere created being. The Trinity does not consist of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and a creature, but of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. This is the most basic, most important, most distinctive teaching of the Christian faith, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God in human flesh. And only Jesus claimed to be divine, and only Christianity claims its founder is divine. Moses made no such claim, nor did Buddha, nor Mohammed, nor Lao Tse, nor Confucius, nor any other religious teacher, but only Jesus made that claim. Many people today say that Jesus was a good man. I want to say categorically that that is a lie. Jesus Christ was not a good man. Do you remember when somebody came to him and said, "Good master," and he said, "Stop right there," or an old English equivalent? "Why callest thou me good?" He had just gotten through teaching that all men were sinful. And someone comes and calls him good. Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." So you see, he hung him up on the horns of a dilemma. If Jesus were merely a man, then he was not good, for he had just gotten through teaching that all men were sinful. If Jesus were good, then he was God, because he had just gotten through teaching that there is only one that is good, and that is God. If Jesus is good, he is God. If Jesus is not God, he is not good. He said that he was the only way to heaven, that all that trusted in him would be everlastingly saved, and that if anybody denied him, that he would be denied before the Father and would be shut out from paradise. Based upon those teaching, countless millions of people suffered the agonies of the arena. They were covered with tar and lighted as torches for Nero's garden. They were placed in sacks with vipers. They were thrown to the lions. They were killed in 1,000 different ways that the depravity of man could invent. Jesus Christ also said, "I and the Father are one." And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am," indicating his eternity. In Colossians 2:9, we read, "For in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form." And the doubter Thomas, after Christ rose from the dead, when he showed him his pierced hands and side, he fell at his feet and he said, "My Lord and my God." And in Titus 2:13, he is called the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even the Father himself, in the first chapter of Hebrews, after he has been speaking about the angels, speaks about the Son. And this is what he says. This is what the Father in heaven thinks about Jesus, regardless of what Americans think. This is what the Father says. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And in 1 John 5:20, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, "This is the true God and eternal life." So we see that the Scriptures very clearly teach that Jesus is God. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God." Ah, my friends, Jesus is God. For were he not God, he could not be our Savior. The Scripture makes it very plain that no man can redeem his brother. No mere man could pay the penalty for the sins of all of the world. It took an infinite person, the God-man, to do that. No mere man could hear the prayers of his people or answer them. Can you imagine? Right this day, there are hundreds of millions of people lifting up their hearts and voices in prayer to Jesus Christ in countless hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of languages. How does he understand all of those? If indeed he had taken a quick course in all of the languages of the world and mastered each one, how does he hear them, millions at one time? He could not answer our prayers, much less hear them, if he were not God. The great pulpiteer Alexander White of Scotland said, "The longer I live, the firmer is my faith rooted in the Godhead of my Redeemer." My friend, who do you say that Jesus is? Can you say with Thomas, "My Lord and my God"? Have you come to know him as your divine Redeemer that took upon himself there at Calvary all of the guilt of all of your sins and suffered there at the hands of his own beloved Father the wrath that sin deserves, that you and I may be spared and may be taken to paradise? If you would ever live at that address, which is God's, it will only be when you receive him who is the way, the truth, and the life, and without whom no man will enter into heaven. Who do you say that Jesus is?
Christ is able to transform lives because he is the living God, who gave his life for us and then rose victoriously over the grave. Jesus is not only alive in our hearts, he is alive in history, which separates him from all other religious figures. Only Jesus walked out of the tomb on the third day, and only Jesus has multiple historical proofs for his life, death, and resurrection. Many people don't realize that Christianity is based on objective, historically verified events. Do you know how to explain those events to others? Are you able to answer the doubts of skeptics when it comes to Jesus Christ? Dr. Kennedy was passionate to help Christians be able to do that. And we have put together an unprecedented package of resources to help you and those you love be better anchored in your faith and able to share it with all who ask you for a reason for the hope that you have within you. First is the newly published book, 12 Reasons Why I Believe, by Dr. Kennedy. This book compiles Dr. Kennedy's greatest arguments supporting the facts of our faith. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you can give a donation of $75 or more, we will send you the book plus the 12-message, 6-DVD set, D. James Kennedy on Why I Believe. These messages include the full-length version of the one you saw an excerpt of today, How I Know Jesus is God. It also features the messages, How I Know There Is a God, and How I Know the Bible is God's Word, among many others. And if you can give a generous donation of $100 or more, we will thank you by sending not only the 12 Reasons Why I Believe book, and the D. James Kennedy on Why I Believe DVD set, but also the classic hardcover book from Dr. Kennedy, What If the Bible Had Never Been Written? This book, written with our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb, was one of the foundational books of Dr. Kennedy's ministry, laying out the impact of the Bible on all of Western culture, including politics, law, science, and the founding of America. This is perhaps the greatest package of resources for bolstering and defending your faith that we have ever put together. So please contact us today while supplies last. And as you give, you will be helping us toward 2020, where the need for the biblical truth to be broadcast in anticipation of a national election will be extraordinary. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. It seems almost fashionable in this secular age to deride Christians as intolerant bigots and Christianity as a restrictive, patriarchal religion that, in the recent words of a British judge, is incompatible with human dignity. But the historical ignorance involved in such a claim is truly staggering. The central fact of Christianity is the incarnation, that the Son of God set aside His majesty and came to live among us as a man. As one biblical author concludes, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. There is no other worldview in which we see humanity so highly valued. Certainly not in Islam, where Allah is wholly separate from humans and may or may not show mercy according to His own inscrutable and capricious will. Certainly not in materialistic evolution, where life is accidental, and survival and advancement are predicated on a life and death struggle of biological adaptation. In nations where the gospel has held sway, the position of women has been elevated far higher than anywhere else in the world, a world in which we still see most women treated as mere property with second-class citizenship. Jesus, by contrast, treated women as those created in the image of God and shared his ministry with them. Under Christianity, the sick have been cared for, as witnessed by the advent of hospitals, many of which to this day in some way bear the name of Christ. The poor have been helped with Christian-based and Christian-funded charities, usually still being the first on the scene in times of disaster, famine, and governmental collapse. Marginalized groups have been protected, as with widows who were burned on their husbands' funeral pyres in India, or those who were slaves in the British Empire, until those practices were forbidden by Christians. Let the Christmas story of the arrival of Jesus remind us that Jesus has transformed this world for good, far more than any other. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Are you looking for solid evidence for the Christian faith?
But how do we know that the Bible is indeed God's Word? Those who would be effective witnesses for Christ need to realize that the resurrection is the unassailable fortress of Christianity.
Dr. D. James Kennedy explains 12 Reasons Why I Believe in this new book compiled by Dr. Jerry Newcomb to bolster your faith and help you answer tough questions. Dr. Kennedy boldly and clearly illustrates how you can know for sure that there is a God, the world was created, Jesus was born of a virgin, and the foundations of your faith are true. Contact us today to receive your copy of 12 Reasons Why I Believe so that you can be equipped to answer the challenges of skeptics and share the evidence for your Christian faith.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
These prophecies are things that perhaps weren't so clear before Jesus came, but in retrospect, that they pointed to him is quite clear.
The virgin birth, fact or fable?
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.